Have you ever wondered how you might react or what you might do if something you couldn't explain came after you? Something you could not identify. Something that didn't make any sense at all. But there it was, in the physical, coming straight for you. Tonight, we will hear some stories about just that. Welcome to another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
About 15 years ago, I lived in Sulphur, Oklahoma. My playground, so to speak, was the Chickasaw National Recreation Area. I loved that park so much. I've walked nearly every trail and ridden every road. Every day I would ride my mountain bike up and down the trails and would be home by nightfall most days. One night, however, I had ridden out a bit further than usual. On my way back, however, I decided to ride the trail from an area known as Buffalo Springs, where live buffalo roam, and there's a large spring or fountain there for all to enjoy. As I was riding back, I knew the end of the trail was coming up and I would have to cross a stone bridge across the creek and then up the road to my home. It was dark at this time and all I had to see was the moon. I was maybe a few hundred yards from it when I got a sharp pain in my left thigh. I stopped and looked around to see what just hit me. Then I heard a noise sounding like something hitting the ground hard in front of me. There was a rock about the size of a baseball rolling across the trail. Me, confused, starts to look up this side of the hill. Just as I turn my head to look, I almost fall off my bike when another rock comes flying down and hitting my front wheel. I finally have my eyes to adjust to look and see someone very tall and dark, covered in hair, at the top of the hill throwing things at me and screaming. I yelled that I had a cell phone and was going to call the police. I didn't actually have one, as I didn't have a cell phone yet. But this seemed to piss off who or whatever it was. It started charging down the hill at me. I, for obvious reasons, took off on my bike. Just as I crossed the bridge, I heard a huge splashing noise in the creek and saw that it was a large rock that had been thrown. I was almost home, but I was frightened the whole way there. I went to the ranger station later the next morning and told a ranger about what happened. He says, "So, you were attacked by a Bigfoot?"
I don't know what it was, but something was trying to hurt me.
Okay, Justin. If I hear any more Bigfoot information, I'll let you know what we get.
The very next week I was riding, in the daylight, when the park ranger pulled up next to me and said for me to get in. I asked him why, and he said he needed to show me something. We head to the police department in town. Before we get out of the car, he turns to me and says,
"Justin, I owe you a huge apology. I'll be honest that I didn't believe you when you told me that story of you being attacked. However, it's come to my attention that a couple was out there at the same area last night and was attacked in the same way. They said they'd seen a large, hairy creature throwing rocks and sticks and screaming at them. They called the police and they came out with some of their rangers, including myself. I immediately thought about what you had told me. When we arrived and started up the hill, sure enough, we were having rocks and things thrown at us. guns drawn and yelling, two officers tackled a man to the ground. He was 6'5" tall, naked, covered in mud, and had long hair and a large beard. He had escaped from the Veterans Center across Veterans Lake. Apparently, he thought he was back in Vietnam and was trying to, quote-unquote, take out the enemy.
He then went on to say that I was very lucky because he was trying to kill me. We went inside so I could give the police my statement as to what had happened. They had sent him to a more secure facility somewhere else. To this day, I still get the shivers when I hike that trail, and I always keep my eyes on the ridge top. I do feel bad for people with PTSD and such mental illnesses, but Mr. Crazy Naked Bigfoot Man, let's not meet again. I used to work in a hole-in-the-wall gas station out in the sticks of North Carolina. I was freshly 18, had a new car. It was a crappy Chevy, but it got me from point A to point B, and was newly promoted to assistant manager. So I was working many late nights by myself. Truthfully, I loved working alone. My boss was super laid back, and his philosophy was, as long as the work gets done, do whatever you want. And we had a shotgun behind the counter, which he taught me to shoot on my first day there, so even though I would be there so late, I always felt safe. On this particular night, I was extremely dead, so with my boss's permission, I closed the store early and hopped in my car. It was probably 11:30 to 12 a.m. at this point. Other than being able to get out of work early, this was my usual routine. Nothing seemed out of the ordinary. I texted my roommate to let her know I was getting home early. We always looked out for each other like that. Then I lit up a cigarette and started on my way home. For those of you who don't know North Carolina like I do, I'm going to provide a little bit of detail regarding the terrain. From where I worked at the gas station to where I lived, I had to drive down the back roads. These roads consisted of very dense woods on both sides. Sometimes the woods would seem so thick you couldn't really tell where you were, especially at night. This could be intimidating to those who don't know the area well, but honestly, I was more worried about deer jumping out in front of me, which was a common occurrence in this area. But on this night, I wished it was just a deer. I'm driving down the road, blaring Nirvana, my favorite band at the time, and just being a typical 18-year-old grunge kid who had newly discovered the freedom of being an adult and getting off work, when all of a sudden I see something in the middle of the road, maybe 75 to 100 feet ahead. At first, I thought it was a deer, but it looked too small to be a deer, so I started to gradually slow down, ultimately coming to a stop. I have to wear glasses when I drive, mainly at night, but my eyesight isn't terrible enough for me to make it a habit. I grabbed my glasses and put them on. Now, being able to see much more clearly, I almost shat myself at what I saw. It was a woman, an older woman, wearing what looked like a nightgown of some kind. Her hair was in disarray. She had her hands behind her back, and she was just standing there, in the middle of the road, just staring at me in my car. Let me remind you, we are practically in the middle of nowhere. There are trees as far as my headlights can shine, and it's freaking midnight. I'm naturally paranoid, so all sorts of questions were running through my head. Who is this woman? Where did she come from? It's midnight. Are my doors locked? Why is she out here at midnight? Should I honk my horn at her? Should I call the police? What if she has Alzheimer's and doesn't know where she is? Or what if she's an escaped mental patient? The closest mental facility was 3 to 4 cities away, but of course I did not exclude that possibility. I thought about calling 911, but I get my phone and of course, no cell service. This encounter went on for a while, just sitting in the middle of the road, mentally questioning what to do. It's now way past 12:30. She's still standing there, just staring at me with this zoned out look, hands behind her back as if she's observing me. I'm beginning to get tired of this, considering that I had to be up early for work the next morning. So I honked my horn at her. I did not expect what happened next. This woman's face turns from being spaced out to complete rage. Then she raises her arms up. It looked like she was holding something in her hand. She lets out this horrid, guttural scream and charges at my car. As she ran closer, I realized she was holding something sharp. It looked like a kitchen knife or a piece of jagged glass. During this moment of horror, I had a brief flashback to my stepdad giving me advice when I had first gotten my license.
If an animal ever runs out in front of you, turn it into a bump bump.
I love animals so much I couldn't bear to hear that. But this time, I was taking my stepdad's advice. I was going to turn this woman into a bump bump. Serve the Servants by Nirvana comes on next. I mention this because the song has much to do with the aura of the moment. As if it was in sync with the instance in time, the intensity of the song enabled me to let out the most intimidating, primal scream that I could, loud enough for her to hear me, and then I hit the gas. She was running towards my car like she was going to jump on my hood. I guess she realized I had the utmost intent to hit her. So at this point, she zigzags away from my car and runs off into the woods. Still in fight mode, I didn't question where this woman went. I was just glad that she was gone. So I accelerated on the gas and sped the entire way home. I got home at almost 1:30 a.m. My roommate was still awake, waiting for me the entire time. She was extremely worried because it was way past the time I said I was going to be home. She had been texting and calling me the whole time. When I pulled up to our house, I got all of her texts and missed calls at once. So I started to explain to her what happened. My body went from fight mode to panic as I was recounting everything that happened. My roommate's aunt was a 911 operator who also happened to be working that night. She decided to text her aunt to see if there was any silver alerts in the area. Immediately, her aunt texted back and said there was not. That alone gave me goosebumps to the core of my being. There was no explanation as to where this lady came from. So, deranged lady who tried to attack me in the middle of the woods in North Carolina, let's not meet. And if we do, I will, per my stepdad's timely advice, turn you into a bump
bump.
So, the summer after graduating high school in the Metro Detroit area of Michigan, almost every weekend was a graduation party. Towards the end of the summer, one of my closest friends had his at his house. Now, his house backs up to a small wooded area, probably no more than 50 to 100 yards deep and maybe 20 to 30 yards across. It's small enough to where you can see the house on the other side of it during the day and some of the lights on in the house at night. Additionally, the houses surrounding his belonged primarily to the elderly, so no one is out past 10 o'clock or so. Finally, we had never drank or tried any sort of intoxicating substance until months after this occurred. This all comes into play as the night begins to unfold. Once it started to get dark out, the party died off. At this point, it was only me, him, and three of our friends. Around 10 p.m., we thought it would be a good night for a bonfire, so we got some wood together, along with the lighter fluid and lighter, and got a nice little fire going. We spent a good hour or so just having a good time, sharing stories, laughing, etc., until one of our friends had to leave. This left only four of us until about half an hour later when one of our other friends had to leave, so her boyfriend took her home and told us he'd be back in a little bit. Suddenly, it was just the two of us. This is when things got interesting. As my friend sat facing back towards the woods, and I with my back to the woods, we started hearing some noises. Sticks cracking on the ground, leaves being brushed through, those sort of things. He laughed it off, saying it was just the neighbor's cat. We sat around chatting for a while, and the noises continued. And I continued to brush them off under the assumption it was just a cat. However, I was a little unnerved when we both heard what sounded like footsteps in the front yard. At first, we thought our friend had gotten back, but realized it wasn't him after a few minutes had gone by. Eventually, our friend did come back from dropping his girlfriend off. We began to hang out and chat again like nothing had ever happened. A couple of minutes later, however, the noises from the woods started up again. But this time they were closer. Much, much closer. I could see my friend was clearly unnerved by this, and I reminded him that he told me it was just the cat. He looked at me and told me that they didn't have a cat. He just said that to reassure himself earlier that it was nothing. I quickly got up and moved to the other side of the fire and sat down between my two friends. So now we are all facing the woods. After using a few choice words towards my friend to express how I felt about him letting me sit with my back towards whatever was back there, things took a bit of a turn. We saw something move in the brush. It was slight, but noticeable. It looked fairly big, too, about 5 feet tall. Human-like. We tried to joke it off and convince ourselves it was nothing. This worked until a few moments later when we started to see more movement. This continued for a couple of minutes until it got significantly closer and we decided to go inside. We hurried as we started to grab everything we needed to take in and put the lid on the fire pit. Throughout this time, it continued to move closer to us. It almost seemed hesitant yet curious as we saw it dart about. Nonetheless, we rushed inside. We locked the door wall behind us and went to the windows. By this point, it knew we were inside and was coming up to the house. It would dart by the windows as we ran between the windows in the house, hoping we could catch a glimpse of what had us so scared. We made out some basic details. It was about 4 to 5 feet tall when it was hunched over, humanoid-like and pale. Almost white, but still a little gray kind of pale. This went on for a good 10 minutes until we heard the scratching of nails on the wooden deck connected to the house. Around this time, it seemed to shift its focus towards the fire as we apparently did not put the lid back on completely. Before I knew it, my friend was calling us over to the window that faced the fire. The lid was off, and we could see the shape of it darting around the fire. We later found the lid about 10 feet away from the pit. Something had to have picked it up by the hot metal handle and throw it over there. Around this time, we noticed that it was around some of the other windows. It was then that we realized there wasn't just one of whatever it was. There was multiple. If I had to guess, I'd say there were about 4 or 5. This general activity continued for about 20 minutes until I decided I was going home. Our other friend decided he would do the same at that point, so neither of us had to walk to our cars alone. We both parked maybe 20 to 30 yards from the house, but since the activity had only increased since it started, 20 yards seemed like a mile because of our nerves. After our friend tried and failed to convince us to stay the night there with him, we left. We rushed out the front door and to our cars within about 30 seconds. As we went to get into our cars, however, we were facing the backyard. Both of us saw multiple of the things crouched down about halfway to the ground. Some in open parts of the yard looking at us, and some behind the trees looking back at the house. As we both drove away, I looked back and saw the shape of a head looking into one of the windows of the house. As we left his neighborhood, which is kind of hidden in a wooded area, we both saw something cross the street behind our cars. As soon as we both got back to our houses, we got onto our group chat to confirm what we saw after leaving the house. Any doubt I had about what I saw was quickly thrown out the window as soon as my friend described what he saw, without any input as to what I saw. As the three of us recounted the night in our group chat, my friend continued to update us on the events still unfolding at his house. Besides seeing the figures outside his window still, he claimed he saw a face in the window at one point. Pale skin and black eyes. He described them as almost being like holes in the face. They were so dark. He also claimed that at one point something had scratched on the screen on his window. Needless to say, we were all terrified. Any sensible person wouldn't try to recreate the events from that night, right? Well, I guess we are not the most sensible because the next night we were right back at it. We knew what we saw and we needed validation. This time, we had another person stay with us so they could back up our claims.
We needed evidence that was better than just our word. It was too dark to take pictures or video, so audio recordings were our only option. We set the night up just like the previous. Everyone got to the house, we got a nice fire going, and we waited for things to start up. Once it got dark out, we started hearing the rustling in the brush again. An hour or so later, the noises got closer, and I switched sides so that all four of us were facing the wooded area. Within minutes, we saw whatever it was out there moving through the brush again. There were probably about two or three at this point. We started to hold out for a while, thinking we were hot shit and it wouldn't come for us. This attitude changed within a matter of minutes as the pale figures got closer and started to go to the sides of us. They were surrounding us. We got up and calmly tried to put the lid back on the fire. We figured if we showed we were afraid, they might go for us. As soon as we finished getting the lid on the fire and grabbed everything we needed, we rushed inside. Before we knew it, they were darting past the windows again. At this point, the fourth person, who had not been with us during it all the night before, agreed that something was out there. As time passed, we gathered up the courage to go back out and stand on the deck and try to get some kind of evidence. We stood out there as they got closer. There were more this time, maybe five or six. We stood there in silence as we observed them. They almost seemed curious with a hint of mischief. Some watched us, some ran around. One even scratched the underside of the deck directly beneath my feet. I could feel it as its nails dragged across the wood. At one point, a deer ran out in front of the wooded area just a bit further down the road. It was like it was running away from something. But definitely not us, because it ran somewhat towards us. Not away from us. Throughout this time, I had been recording audio on my phone. At first, it didn't seem like I captured anything. Going through the recordings the next day, however, I noticed something. Something short, but apparent. I isolated the snippet of audio and used an online tool to amplify the volume several times so that it could be heard more clearly. That's when it struck me. It was almost like a growl. Here's the 2-second audio clip. After all this, we hurried back into the house. The three of us left, and again, we saw whatever they were in the yard as we bolted to our cars. Almost a year has passed since those nights, and the thought of it all still terrifies me to this day. What's more, as I was driving out the other night, I decided to pass through his neighborhood to sort of reminisce about old times. As I was driving, though, I saw those same pale figures, hunched over and moving about. There were about four or five of them. I'm posting this because I'm looking for answers. If anyone has any idea as to what we might have seen those nights, please let me know. The events still haunt my memories to this day. A really big thanks to our contributors this evening: Justin Digger, 30, The Soul of a Sage, and N. Cummings, 001. As mentioned in the last story, N. Cummings 001 submitted this story because he's looking for helpful information from anyone who has any idea of what he might have experienced, or if anyone else has experienced the same thing. If you would like to reach out to me with any information, I'm on Twitter as Society_Radio. I'm on Instagram as Nightmare Society Radio. And if you have an encounter you would like to submit, you can email me at nightmaresocietyradio@gmail.com. Thanks, and as always, stay safe.